Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. Go online and get a backstage pass and enjoy our radio show by way of the podcasting and the video casting, because I tell you right now, that's where we make our money. That's where we make our money. We make our money with our website. We make our money with our great subscribers. We make our money with... We make our money with television gigs. We make our money with voiceover gigs. This is the radio business now. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Radio doesn't make any money. What you do now, radio is now is such a pathetic business. It's like a billboard where a radio talent makes his money now is not in radio. We make our money in other media. You know, we sell subscriptions, we do podcasts, we have advertising, we do all that stuff. And the radio industry, the multi-million dollar radio industry that's really just cornered by a handful of people and doesn't, you know, really doesn't pay the talent anything, the radio industry doesn't do anything but just sit there and provide a megaphone for it all. They don't program, they don't do anything. I'm sorry, I mean, I know that hurts people. Here's what I run into every single solitary day. Every day. When I say this, this is what they say in the radio world. Don't talk about that. Okay, I won't talk about it. Are you guys going to do something about it? No. So in other words, you're going to continue to do no business, basically. Just let the industry fall into the toilet, and I can't talk about it. So that's what our solution is? Yeah, okay. Well, you'll forgive me if I don't accept your invitation to attend whatever radio convention it is that you want me to attend. I just got invited to go to something in New Orleans, it's a very nice guy that invited me. I said, "What the hell am I going to? What am I going to do down there?" Well, you know, you'll be at the do what, man? Talk to people about how they can be better on the radio, better radio. You know what I could do? I could open up a radio school. If I was really dishonest. If I was really dishonest, this is what I would do. I would take out an ad and I'd say, Phil Hendry will teach you how to be a radio personality. And I guarantee you, I would make thousands every month. There'd be people up and down the North American continent wanting to learn from Phil Hendry how to be a radio personality. But I'm not going to do that to people. I'm not going to have people pay me and teach them a skill that is not valued in the radio business. I will say this. If you're a prospective radio talent, if you want to go into radio, don't. Go into your own online business. Go into internet radio. Go into internet television. Don't go into radio. Because what's happening in radio is they don't like talent. They want to turn it into a jukebox. So get an internet radio show. Get your own website. Get your own video casting, do your own podcasting, sell some advertising, and you can make a nice living. And it's not that difficult either. It's shocking how easy it is, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, the radio industry, I guess, is going to be left to its own devices. Now, that's what I would tell. I wouldn't say anything other than that. I'm not going to, you know, lie to people. That's what I would say if I went to that thing in New Orleans. But what we do on this end is a subscription business. I talk to guys like Jimmy Pardo. He has a subscription business, and there's others. There's guys that sell advertising. I'm going to talk to Bubba this weekend. Bubba does a very good job. He's got all kinds of advertisers on his website. He has his network of stations, and he has his business, and that's what's happening right now. Because radio's ability to generate income doesn't exist anymore. There's nobody in that business that can cinch it up for a day's worth of work, go out, and actually make some money. So talent is left to its own devices, and that's fine. Now, I know I'm telling you guys a lot of business inside information that you don't quite get. What I'm basically telling you is this. What happened to newspapers? You remember that, right? That's what's happening to radio. What happened to the newspaper business? Where they all folded up and there's maybe one or two left in the big cities, same thing's happening to radio. Now, if you're a newspaper writer, what do you do? Well, you can blog, you can go online and do, you know, you can write for the Daily Beast, you can do different, that kind of thing. You can go and write for the Huffington Post and then have her insult you when you say, do you pay for the people that write for you? And she says something like, no, I don't do that, whatever that Zsa Zsa Gabor voice of hers, you know.
Yeah, it's yelling Zsa Zsa Gabor, you know. Name it Gabor. I mean...
Gabor, G-A-B-O-R.
Yeah.
You could go ahead and try and write for Zsa Zsa over there, you know.
But, you know, in that here at the Huffington Post, you know,
you can do that, but she ain't paying, man.
Yeah, they're not going to pay nobody?
She ain't paying nothing. She said already, did you hear what she said? The so-called progressive Ms. Huffington, the one who is, oh, goodness gracious, she's just really all about the working man. Boy, she told those writers to go ahead and pound it sideways, man. When those cats said, hey, you know, maybe we'll just strike your website. Maybe we'll strike your news service. And she said, go ahead and try it. So she sounded like any slob back in the day who owned a company and wanted to muscle the people. And I'm not saying that what those guys were going to do was the smartest thing in the world. I mean, face it, guys. You know, there's far too much competition. There are far too many writers. There's far too much opportunity to start a website, quote-unquote, a business on the Internet. No one's going to give a sweet, you know, diddly squat about you not getting paid by the Huffington Post. Go out and start your own news service. Compete with the Zsa Zsa, you know?
Yeah, you got to go out and start your own news service, man. But she just sold her company for $300 million.
She did. She's got a lot of money. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
There's nothing. I mean, the Huffington Post has done a very smart thing. They have morphed from being a liberal organ into a fairly mainstream. They got rid of all of the insulting and unfunny satirical pieces they were doing against the right. That thing that they published about Sarah Palin's developmentally disabled grandson, I think, or son, I forget which, was probably the last straw for even a good old Zsa Zsa, man. When she read that, it was like, it wasn't funny. It was offensive beyond all get out. It was the pathetic attempt by the progressive left. And believe me when I tell you, man, political humor these days, it's hit and miss on either side of the fence. But this was really bad. So she backed away from a lot of that stuff and became a lot more mainstream. They even reported sports over there now. You know, so go out and see if you can compete with that. Look what Matt Drudge. You think the Drudge Report is what it used to be? I don't know. How many hits do you think Matt gets now?
I'll still go with him. You know, I mean, a lot of people do. He doesn't get the play a lot of people get, but
I don't. You know, I used to have Matt Drudge as my one of my go-to sites. I can't tell you the last time I just use Google News now.
Yeah, Google News and Yahoo, you know.
All right, man, don't do that.
Yahoo.
Okay, bud, he told you, don't do it.
He told me, but you didn't.
All right, I'm telling you, don't do it.
What, Yahoo? Shut up, man.
He's going to slug you again. Is that what you want? Do you want that?
What?
He's going to belt you if you keep doing that.
Yahoo. Ow! I told you, man. I didn't know you were going to hit me there.
Well, he did, didn't he?
That hurt.
Good. I'm glad it hurt.
Yahoo! I'm going to kick your ass. Yeah, you have to find me first.
I'm going to throw both of you out, not only of the studio, but out of the building. You want that?
No.
Do you want it?
I didn't do anything. Yahoo! Why do you get to do it?
Because it's my show. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Man. 877-877-6744-5 on Sunday at noon. Milwaukee Lion football at Phil TV in HD. Noon Pacific time as the Lions travel to Utah and Salt Lake City's Beaver Dome to take on the Utah Flaming Cavalry. Game time at noon with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. Only, exclusively, at PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Ow!
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Before we move on to other news here, I thought it only fair that we get the Pussy Riot
What?
Well, the new single, man, or the song. I mean, isn't that what I asked you to do?
Yeah, well, I got him being sentenced in a courtroom.
Dude, I'm not asking for them being sentenced in the courtroom. I was looking for the actual video of them singing their song about Putin being a douchebag or whatever the hell it was.
But it wasn't like a Putin being a douchebag or nothing. It is about Putin being a douchebag.
All right, it is about Putin being a douchebag. That's all I wanted to see.
Our healthcare
should be our own. Is this it? No, that's a Mitt Romney ad. Wait a minute. And that was not only Mitt Romney, it was Smashing Pumpkins.
Ain't that it?
Cases
no.
of rape and incest.
This
and
is an ad.
I'll cut off funding to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah?
For women, Planned Parenthood means life-saving cancer.
I'm sorry, folks. This is the ad that's in the
services. But for Mitt Romney,
this is the ad that's in the story on Pussy Riot. I got to tell you, I'm about had it with the political process in this country. Let me see here, man. Is this it? Oh, they're great. They're fantastic.
This is great.
Yeah.
Maybe that devil might be saying four-letter words.
Hold on. It is rather hooligan-esque. They're wearing ski masks, too.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the hooliganism.
I knew it was gonna suck. Why am I playing it, man?
I think it's pretty good, though.
In other words, it sucks, but you think it's also pretty good.
Yeah.
This is like, they're like the Bananarama of Moscow, you know?
Yeah, they're Bananarama, but they don't have a nightclub to go to. Yeah,
this is what happened. They kick Bananarama's ass. What do you think? There's a nun trying to kick ass on one of them, which I think is pretty good. Oh, whatever, man. You know, I mean, it's Russia. What the hell do you expect, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, what do you expect? It's Russia. Just like the father of one of these girls said it, he said, people have been locked up in our country for political expression for centuries. Why the hell do we expect anything different? And Madonna and the rest of them, what do you think you're going to do? Don't you understand? The Russians are not impressed with you at all, man. What do you think you're going to do? Unless, of course, Putin wants concert tickets or something. I mean, I'm sure there's something you got that he wants, Madonna.
Yeah, she's probably going to have to give it up. Shut up, man.
Shut up, bud.
Why? Don't you think that
Shut up. Hey, hey, hey! Don't talk like that, okay?
Well, don't you think that Putin had let him go? Yeah, I call it Pooty Riot.
Yeah, the Pooty Riot. But... All right, watch it with the Pooty Riot, okay?
They're saying Pussy Riot.
Yeah, but that's okay, because it's a direct news quote, and we're allowed to use that. So, in Russia, where they've been putting people away and pulling their fingernails out for you... You know, here in America, we really think we know what repression is. It makes me laugh. I understand that there is a history in this country, especially between police and minorities, that is pretty outrageous. There's no question about it, and you'd be stupid to think that there was not... At one time in this country, horrible police abuse against certain groups of people in America. It's absolutely true. We happen to know, as a matter of fact, that certain police, small town police forces, have been guilty of murder. It's happened. We know this is part of our history. You can't ignore it. You have to look at it. So always keep that in mind when you begin to, as I am about to do, when you begin to weigh in and weigh other political systems. In our country, it's illegal. While there is abuse and while there is racism and race hate and sexism and homophobia and all of this stuff, in our country, it is unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. So that at the end of the day, even if you've got to wade through every small town, dumbass, redneck cop in the world to get to it, there's a constitution that sits there that says, no, 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 no. You don't get to do that. And in our country, getting to that constitution takes less time than it does in any other godforsaken hole of a country out there. Now, that's just the reality of the world. You think so, huh, Phil? Yeah, I think so. You know, I get into these discussions all the time with people. They'll say, well, you don't understand another country. What other country are you talking about, man? You got to start in with your Sweden thing again. This is where everybody brings up Sweden. I always love it. This is where they bring up, well, in Sweden? In Sweden, really? How many black folks they got in Sweden? How many minorities have they got in Sweden? What kind of actual racial tension have they got in Sweden, man? What is the, and what's the population of that country? And what is the history of that country? What are they coming from? How much strife and how much blood, sweat, and tears has it taken to form the insulated, safe harbor society of Sweden? A country that was neutral in World War II. Ah.
How'd he finish that?
They did it. A country that has gone out of its way to stay out of the fray, to stay, well, I don't know about this Jew thing. Yeah, sure, the Swedes, they had some great people, and they've stuck their necks out, and they've done some heroic things. But as a nation, as a government, as a society, they've been very, well, you know, I know nothing, I see nothing.
What about all that Nobel Prize and everything?
Nobel Prize? What's that?
You know.
Oh, yeah, the Nobel Prize. What about it?
They do that, too.
And it ain't them. That's Oslo. That's Norway, ain't it?
No, man. I think that's like... No, it's Finland. Yeah, that's what it is. Finland.
No, it ain't Finland. The Nobel Prize is... maybe it is Sweden. You're right.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's Stockholm.
Yeah, Stockholm. That's where they go. Why do I can't get those... You know, it's either Oslo or Stockholm where they do the Nobel Prize... And it's either Oslo or Stockholm where the sugar cubes are from.
No, they're from Iceland.
Okay. So, you know, don't start talking to me all this smack about this, that, and something else. You know, just go bother somebody else with that horse dung, man. I know how this world works. And everybody wants to have a nice, free, and beautiful, and fresh air society. And, you know, that's a noble thing, and we're all working toward that. But if you're going to start talking to me about the relative values of democracies and societies, when it comes to democracy, when it comes to freedom, this is where it's at, man. Where else are you going to find it? With all of the things that we got to deal with in this country, where else are you going to find things as smooth sailing as right here in America? And the thing that gets me is Americans, because we don't know a damn thing. We've never been anywhere. We've never done anything. We got our heads shoved so far up our asses. We got people running around in this country right now thinking, oh, my God, we're on the verge of communism. If you want to meet a stupid human being, a really stupid human being, just find anybody that thinks we're on the verge of communism in America right now. Anybody. I don't care who they are.
What about William F. Buckley?
William F. Buckley is no longer alive.
Yeah, but what if he said that?
William F. Buckley was not that stupid. I got news for you right now. If I had William F. Buckley sitting here, as much of a right-winger as he wasn't so dumb as to sit down and say, we're on the verge of communism in America. That guy, come on, man. You like Christopher Hitchens?
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, well, it's Christopher Hitchens is very respect. Christopher Hitchens is interesting. Christopher Hitchens was a left wing thinker, writer, intellectual who supported the war in Iraq. And I love to see my left wing friends over on Twitter, like the Steven Weber, who's a great guy. And you're talking about Hitch, Steven? Are you crazy, man? Hitch was like a Bush man when it came to Iraq. How do you feel about that? All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Where's Oslo?
Oslo's in Norway.
No, that's Finland.
Oslo is not in Finland. Oslo's in Norway.
What's the capital of Finland then?
Oh, get out of here. Where's Finland? Nice music, man.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I was talking with our good, close, personal friend, Dan Northcraft, our technical director, because we had some questions in our comments section. Is Dan a Tool fan? And yes, indeed he is, and he has seen the band. He's seen the band, in fact, to the point, and Bud, you weighed in on this, that he is an admirer of their sound people, and that the sound people that Tool employs, they can make that band sound good no matter where.
Yeah, you talk about on an armory in Medford. I'm going to go see Tool. They're going to play at the Laughingham Arena.
Where's that, man?
The Laughingham Arena, where?
That in L.A.
I never heard of the Laughingham Arena.
Yeah, but it used to be, I think it was a place where they stored ammunition or something. And they stored ammunition there, and they designed aircraft. And now the Laughingham Arena, probably one of the top concert venues.
What are you talking about, man?
I never heard of no Laughingham Arena, man. What are you talking about?
I just got done telling you how many times you want to say it.
They stored ammunition there, and they, what did they do?
They refurbished aircraft. And also, I shouldn't say, but it's probably bad, but it was a Japanese internment camp in World War One or Two, which was the one where they put the Japanese internment camp, World War One.
What?
What is it?
World War One.
What's World War One? You talking about World War One?
Yeah.
No, it was World War Two. So let me just get this straight. You're going to go see Tool at the Laughingham Arena.
Yeah.
Where is it, man?
I told you, it's in L.A.
I've never heard of the Laughingham Arena, and I've been here my whole life. Where in L.A.?
Downtown. I mean, you know, where everything is, downtown.
Downtown, man. No, the only thing downtown is Staples Center.
That used to be the Laughingham Arena.
The Laughingham Arena, and they used to store ammunition there. They refurbished aircraft, and it was a Japanese internment camp.
Yeah.
Well, what a great place to go and see a band, huh?
My understanding is the acoustics is really good, and it sounds good.
Well, that's what we were just talking to Dan about, that the Tool...
Well, the band they call The Tool, called Tool.
Now, I know that.
You called it The Tool.
No, I did not. I sound lame enough. Don't make it... he said that whoever's doing sound for that band is great because he's seen them in a lot of different rooms. But I have a concert story that's an old guy concert story.
Go ahead, man. I want to hear it.
It was when I went to see The Doors. I was at the legendary Doors show at the Hollywood Bowl. I didn't go to Woodstock. I didn't go to this. I didn't go to any of these legendary shows. But there's one show, yes, I actually was at. And it is the Hollywood Bowl, 1968 Hollywood Bowl Doors show. I was 15 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. Anyway, make a long story short, that night, this is before the modern PA, the modern sound systems that you have today. This is when amps were stacked on stage, okay?
Yeah.
And that night, the Doors had stacked on that stage the record for the Hollywood Bowl. I don't know how many it was, but it broke the previous record that had been set by the Rolling Stones. And literally, these were Marshall amps that they just stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, they like stack them up, what, like five high?
Yeah, man, it seemed like it was, well, it became maybe not five high, maybe three or four high, big stacks of Marshall amps. And then sitting in front of those is the drum kit. And then, you know, the band was out in front, but there were these, it was just the whole, it was like a wall of black Marshall amps behind the band on stage. And it was the Hollywood Bowl record. To be honest with you, and this is the funny part of the entire thing that I'm about to tell you, that was the Doors' sound system. That night, there were three bands that actually played. The Doors headlined, but the bands that came out first was first Steppenwolf and a band called the Chambers Brothers. Steppenwolf, I don't know who the hell ran their sound because their PA was cutting in and out, and they did that song Born to Be Wild, right?
Yeah, that's the famous one that they done.
Yeah, well, this is how it sounded. Born!
Was that the PA?
No, it was the singer doing it like, yes, it was the PA.
Yeah, that was the you using the Doors amps.
They weren't using the Doors amps. No, man. What, the Doors? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Make garbage out of our amps, man, before we use them. No, they had to use their own crap.
No, they got to go out and set that up?
Yeah, man. I mean, yes. What do you think I'm talking about here? Yes. So when the Chambers Brothers went off, then these roadies come out and start stacking these amps. Chambers Brothers, they were fantastic. I remember they were so good that people were actually asking, how could the Doors be any better than these guys? I would say the Doors were equal to the task, but I'm not so sure they surpassed what the Chambers Brothers did. They were unreal. That's how good they were. But that poor, stupid PA system that Steppenwolf had to deal with on a night when they set the record.
Yeah, they didn't even have enough money to get their own stack PA stacked up.
Yeah. Too bad the only thing stacked that they probably had was their girlfriends.
Yeah, that's bitching.
Yeah, ha, 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 ha. All right, in other news, folks, let's move off of who's stacked and how much. This situation in Washington, D.C., you probably have heard. Accusations of blame abounded on Thursday and Friday, a day after a 28-year-old man who had volunteered for a center that serves gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people was taken into custody for allegedly shooting a building manager at the headquarters of a Christian conservative group. Now, this conservative Christian group, Family Research Council, the president, Tony Perkins, said, and I quote, "Let me be clear that Floyd Corkins," that's the name of the man who was doing the shooting, "Floyd Corkins was responsible for firing the shot yesterday. But Corkins was given a license to shoot an unarmed man by organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center that have been reckless in labeling organizations hate groups because they disagree with them on public policy." Now, this is Corkins speaking on behalf of the Family Research Council, which he says has been labeled a hate group by the Southern Christian Leadership Council. I said the Southern Poverty Law Center. I didn't mean to say the Southern Christian Leadership Council. That's in a completely different organization. I apologize, folks. The Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris Dees' legal center that has been instrumental, to be honest with you, in taking on cases of hate crime cases and getting favorable rulings for their clients, people who have been victims of race hate or hate crimes. In any event, Mr. Perkins said that it was the Southern Poverty Law Center that had been reckless in labeling his group and others hate groups. Perkins said that the Southern Poverty Law Center should be held accountable for their reckless use of terminology that's leading to the intimidation and what the FBI here has categorized as an act of domestic terrorism. No question that it was an act of domestic terrorism. Who is the D.C. shooting suspect? FRC shooting victim. Instincts took over blame game grows in the FRC shooting situation. Prosecutors said they're still investigating the motive behind the shooting, and the motive could determine whether Corkins is charged with domestic terrorism or hate crimes. In a statement, the Southern Poverty Law Center described as outrageous the suggestion that it contributed to the attack. The Family Research Council, which focuses on family and anti-abortion issues and religious liberties, recently supported Chick-fil-A president Dan Cathy, who had become embroiled in controversy about his comments on traditional marriage. Cathy had said, "We're supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit, etc., etc." He was talking to the Baptist press. The statement sparked outrage and uproar in the gay community. Corkins, who was carrying 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches in his bag when he was taken into custody, quote, "has strong opinions with respect to those he believes do not treat homosexuals in a fair manner," authorities said in the complaint filed against him, citing the suspect's parents with whom he lives in Herndon, Virginia. Asked what evidence he had linking the center to the shooting, Perkins referred to the Chick-fil-A matter. "You've seen Family Research Council listed in many of those stories that Chick-fil-A supports and underwrites the Family Research Council. Chicken with a side of politics. And in those stories where it says the Family Research Council, it says they're a certified hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've seen that term used increasingly over the last 2 years, and it marginalizes individuals. All right, this guy is saying that the Southern Poverty Law Center certified or somehow has officially claimed that the Family Research Council is a hate group. So that's going to be an interesting thing, because it seems to me like you could sue a guy for that.
Well, did they or didn't they?
Well, he's not, you know, I got to be honest with you. He's back, he steps right up to the edge and then he backs away from it. He said the company donated $1,000 to the Family Research Council a number of years ago, but does not underwrite his group. The Family Research Council says it promotes faith, family, and freedom. National Organization for Marriage also criticized the Southern Poverty Law Center, say that its listing of the Family Research Council on its website was equating the group with violent. So they list them on their website, and that, quote, equates them with violent extremist groups. So this guy Perkins is running a long way, man, to make that claim. And running an even further long way to say that the Southern Poverty Law Center has anything to do with this guy getting shot. But that's how stupid the discourse in our country has gotten when it comes to human rights. It's something that you figure people would understand, especially Americans. We don't have any more of an understanding of human rights than we have, you know, how to balance a budget or how to balance our own checkbook or anything else. The responsibility is on the shooter, but we need to have a civil debate over issues like redefining marriage, he said Thursday on CNN's Early Start. But we should not be attacking and labeling as hate groups those that we disagree with. There's a very wise person in my life who says to me, if you ever want to know what the real answer is, it starts after the word but. The real statement starts after the word but. So when someone says, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, but that's where their real statement begins. The I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. Just remember that.
It starts after the but. Yeah, I'll bet it does.
Yeah, but shut up. I'm talking serious here, okay? So if someone says, you know, I'm really sorry that I hurt you by running you over with my car. Oh, you are? Yes, I am. But, well, okay, you can throw out the I'm sorry I ran you over with my car, because here comes their actual apology, and it is the following thing. But you walked out in front of my car, and I was having a really bad day, and I couldn't see you because the sun was in the windshield, and you were being very irresponsible by not wearing white, and it was at night, even though the sun was out. So that's the real answer.
Don't even apologize at all.
There you, bingo. Thank you. It's not an apology at all when it's qualified that way. And it's really not a statement of belief when it's qualified this way. So when this guy says on CNN's Early Start, the responsibility is on the shooter, but we need to have a civil debate over issues like redefining marriage, but we should not be attacking and labeling as hate groups those that we disagree with. We should connect. So the first statement, the responsibility is on the shooter, means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. He has gutted it of all meaning, because he's gone on to say, in context with the shooter and in context with his act of violence, what he's basically saying is we need to have a civil debate over issues like redefining marriage, or people are going to get shot. We should not be attacking and labeling as hate groups that we disagree with. Otherwise, people are going to get shot. We should condemn violence of any sort, but we should also be responsible, whatever that means. So his statement of the responsibilities on the shooter is the most meaningless bullcrap statement that you could possibly make. And I would just encourage you guys, anytime you see this in the news, anytime you see it in your own life, anytime you see it quoted in a newspaper, you see it on TV, anytime you hear that word, B-U-T, but, when someone says, well, first, they start out with what is the soundbite, acceptable, and very laudable statement. Why, I think violence in any form is wrong. But, or then the other word is however.
Yeah, I was going to say however.
Yes, violence in any form is wrong. However, now comes the real statement. However, we have been provoked by these gays or by these religious people or by the, you know, and we, therefore, have been made to do this, that, this, that, this, that. That's the guy's real statement. That's what he believes right there. That whole horse dung is meant to confuse you, and quite frankly, it's an insult to your intelligence. I deplore violence in any form, and of course we don't concur with the actions of this warped individual. However, when the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Family Research Council and the Family Law Center and the Southern Poverty Research Council and the right-wingers that are poverty-stricken and the left-wingers that eat chicken, when those people do not respect the rights of straights, gays, animal lovers, animal husbandry experts, and all the others to be married or not married, they cause me to pick up a gun and shoot infants. Yeah, so there's the answer, man.
But the guy said he didn't believe no violence, though.
Wait a second. He just said we deplore violence, and then he goes on to say, however, violence is understandable. That's what we're dealing with, and it's time for us to at least, folks, even if we're not going to solve these problems, let's now begin to understand the language that's being spoken. Don't let people get away with that anymore. I hear it every freaking day in the news. I see it every day. I see people in Congress. I hear people in news soundbites. This guy just did it. Don't let him get away with it anymore. Don't let them get away with the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but call them on it. All right, we got a break. I think I just heard Dan Northcraft's voice. The same guy that does sound for Tool. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth,
we'll be right back.
He's our
maybe.
Bitch. The maybe, Phil Hendry Show.
Maybe.
We'll be right back if you want to be.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, no, not bad. You mean Tool doesn't want people to video their performances?
No, they take the video away.
Oh, no. You mean Tool is trying to protect their copyright and their performance rights and their rights to their own music? Oh, goodness gracious. How will that sit with the freedom-loving internet people? And my good friends over on Twitter, many of whom are, you know, work in Hollywood, work in film and television, who at the same time are against the stop piracy stuff. Why? Can you explain that? You guys work in movies and TV. Some of you have the rights to that, to those performances, and yet, what, you don't want to stop? And I understand the legislation that was written was bad legislation. I get that, and that part we agree on. But some of these people are, like, just against any and all efforts to stop piracy. Now, we've got this guy. I'll give you an example of what we're talking about here. This guy, Julian Assange, we were talking about him last night.
Yeah.
This guy is now in the Ecuador embassy. He doesn't want to be handed over to the Americans. He doesn't want to be handed over to the British. What has this man been doing? He has been actively disseminating on the internet classified documents. Now, I understand that it may be silly. It may be important. It may be a lot of things. Some people may think this and some people may think that. However, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, was the law broken? And the answer is, yes, it was. Now, you can say the law is a bad law, but let me put something to you right now. Julian Assange wants to basically nullify the American political process because he's sitting in the Ecuador embassy right now, and he's saying the investigation of WikiLeaks must be stopped. You understand, this guy's not an American citizen. He's not even in America. He's been leaking documents that essentially belong to the American people by way of their own government, and he's saying the investigation must be stopped. So he wants to nullify the political process in America. He knows that he's broken a law, but he doesn't want to be prosecuted for it. Now, I know the tradition of civil disobedience because I grew up in the era of Martin Luther King. And one of the things that Dr. King did is he said, I'm going to break this law, and I know I'm breaking the law, which means I have to take whatever these legal punishments are that they're going to mete out. I'm not going to stand in front of a judge and plead guilty and then say, but please don't punish me. That doesn't make sense. Did you break the law? Said maybe a judge to Julian Assange, and this guy, because he's not Martin Luther King and never will be in a million lifetimes, he say, I broke an unfair law. Well, that may well be, sir, but you did break. So you're pleading guilty. I'm pleading innocent. You're pleading not guilty. Yes. So you didn't break the law. No, I didn't break a law. I didn't break the moral law of man. You know, that's how these slime balls get around it. Well, yes, you did break the law. Well, it's a bad law. And not only that, it should be nullified. Are you an American citizen? The only people that I know of that can nullify by way of a jury American law are American citizens that serve on a jury. That is called jury nullification. It is legal in our country when a jury says, you know what, this law that this man's being tried under sucks. It sucks, and we're going to render a not guilty verdict. We're going to come in with a not guilty verdict. That's called jury nullification. Last time I checked, the only people who can do that are Americans. So this guy, Assange, is running a con, folks. He is a guy that just wants to send all kinds of crap out into the internet and spread all kinds of bull crap. He doesn't know what's there. It's not really earth-shaking stuff. He just wants the freedom to do it. And now the U.S. government and the British government are playing hardball, and he's starting to feel nervous about it, and he wants the process to stop. It's like he's a little kid that's out there playing a war, and now it's getting really serious, and he wants his mom to call him for dinner. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget the Milwaukee Lions at noon on Sunday. Until then, Sunday at noon for the Lions in Utah. Let that be a lesson to you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Phil Hendry.